آله وأصحابه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. ربي زدني علما وارزقني فهما وإنا إليه راجعون. So I request that brothers and their families make dua. He is my father's first cousin and very close to the family. They were in Germany for many, many years, and sadly he was battling ill health for some time and he has passed away. And make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his tajheez, his janaza, and his takfeen, his burial, all according to the sunnah, insha'Allah ta'ala. Ameen ya Rahman ya Rahim, sallallahu alayhi Nabi Muhammad. Kullu nafsin za'ikatul maut. Everybody will have to taste death. This is absolutely universal truth. Whether a person says, I'm an atheist, I'm a Christian agnostic, people playing games with themselves and their philosophies, right? But the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed death for all of us. All of our efforts in the day, in the night, these consultations with the ulama and mashayikh, this attempt to walk along a tariqah and a path to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the teachings and the sublime way of life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's all in aid of and the attempt of, with the desire inshallah and the intention of, when death comes, that we die with iman and that we are amongst those whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in hadith that death is but a bridge. It takes the habib ila al-habib. It takes the beloved to the beloved. It takes one towards the true objective. Ya Allah, it was for you that I did not eat in Ramadan during the day. Ya Allah, my nafs wanted to sleep, but I woke up for Fajr. Ya Allah, my eyes wanted to look at haram, but I turned it down for you. All these sacrifices a person goes through, this suluk, this tazkiyah, all of this is for the mahbub haqiqi, the true beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is with us now, who will be with us in the grave, and he is with us in the akhirah, right? وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. And he is with you when nobody else is with you. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I say that by way of introduction because of the circumstances, as I've just mentioned, as a reminder, because death is not just about passing on condolences to one another. Oh, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Subhanallah, that is also sunnah, yes. But the main thing is to take heed. Take heed. Our discussions of tasawwuf and our discussions about intricate matters of Islamic logic, theology, all of these things comes to naught. It becomes mental gymnastics, right? It becomes nothing. If the objective is just to feel good, yes, this is my subject. This is, I know, new terminologies. It should be to draw us closer to Allah. If from the first maktubat lesson to now, the dars, we have not drawn closer to Allah, then it is of no benefit. Right? We'll be like the alim, the shaheed, and the generous donor who gave much in charity, who will be dragged into Jahannam. Because they did it, all of those great acts, but they did it for other than Allah, for ghayr Allah. So to develop this ikhlas, this sincerity, that every word that we say is with fear, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not punish us for what we're saying. Let it be for Allah's sake. Let us listen for Allah's sake. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Khair, for there's much that can be said on that. For those that have the unedited translation of Haqiqat al-Jazb al-Suluk, should bring that up insha'Allah ta'ala. We shall now continue with our scheduled dars. We are studying the maktub, the very long, in fact, it may be, I may recall that it's the longest maktub in the maktubat collection. I'll have to check that. But it's definitely one of the longest, written to his own brother, maktub 287. I know. So we had completed the first and second points, and we were about to begin. In fact, the third point was also done. So we will now start with number four, part one, Jazb. A lot of the sisters on the sisters group and others have asked Jazb. By now, we should know what Jazb is. Jazb, literally, from a lughi perspective, from a lexical perspective, in terms of vocabulary, it means something that absorbs, attracts. Injizab is the ability to absorb. And this is Farsi and Urdu, but the original word is jazb, with a dal in Arabic, jazb. But obviously, we're the letter of Mujaddid Thani, Rahmatullah, was not written in Arabic, it was written in Farsi, Persian. Hence, it's closer to Urdu. Jazb. And this jazb is created by, it could be created by anything, company of the pious awliya, by acts of worship that evoke emotion within us, such that it could be listening to a nasheed, it could be listening to qira'ah, the Quran, and definitely through dhikr of Allah. So, number four, those who have attained a high state of the jazb, irrespective of the methodology adopted, belong to the fraternity of qalb. This is translation needs editing and refining. The original words are arbab al-qulub, arbab al-qulub, the people of the heart. What does this mean? This one sentence seems like a simple sentence, doesn't it? Those who have attained a high state of jazz, irrespective of methodology adopted, belong to the fraternity of. In fact, let me ask you all a question. What does Mujaddid Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi mean by those who've attained a high state of jazb? What does he mean by irrespective of the methodology adopted? People can raise their hands and answer the question, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, any more hands? Nobody should be shy. This is a dars. In dars, we like to keep it interactive where possible. Okay. Abdul Halim?
السلام عليكم سيدي. I need to think. I'm not sure.
Think. Just listen to that sentence, read that sentence. Have you got the translation in front of you?
Yes, it's in front of me. Yes.
So, irrespective of the methodology adopted, what does the first part mean in the sentence?
Those who have attained the high state of just
What does that mean?
I think it's not enough when I say that it's self-explaining.
No, in your own words, it's all self-explanatory, alhamdulillah. But what does it mean in your own words, so that I can understand that I'm able to give the dars properly? There's no right, no fear of making a mistake here. This is a dars, and everybody should try and give what they understand, right? So that I can refine the way I'm explaining something, inshallah ta'ala.
So, in my words, I would say those people who've reached a state that they feel a strong, that they have a strong feeling to, that they want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Bas, bas, that's it. Exactly. It's simple. High degree means, look, somebody can listen to a nasheed or a qasida in praise of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in Urdu you call it naat, right? And a person can feel, subhanallah, Allah, I just want to be close to Allah. But that can be very momentary. And the next thing they flick on their favorite movie that they want to watch, right? It's gone. But some people reach a high degree of it. They do regular dhikr. They abstain from haram so that the jazb that they get stays within their heart, right? That nur stays a lot longer, right? As a result of that, these people then become the arbab al-qulub, or the fraternity of the heart, right? But the sentence I want to focus on now, in light of what we've just discussed, is what does he mean by any methodology?
Could it maybe be that irrespective of the tariqah, yani he's not talking specifically about the Naqshbandiya?
Partially correct. Mehmet, go ahead. You had your hand up for a while. Yes.
Sheikh, I was basically thinking the same as Brother Abdul Halim, irrespective of the tariqah, or maybe like any adhkar.
Okay, no problem. Partially correct again. Dr. Adesina Ibrahim.
Assalamu
As-salamu alaykum.
alaikum,
Yes, please try.
sir. I think if there are other ways of getting to be loved through, I mean, to get the love of Allah, maybe one is
Masha'Allah.
using what we call imagination or
Masha'Allah.
through
Yes.
love. Where I know, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, this is correct. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Alhamdulillah. All of them are correct, but let me just ask Muhammad Diab.
Assalamu
As-salamu alaykum. Yes, in your own words, please. Irrespective of the methodology.
alaykum. Sheikh, I've been trying to search for the sentence because but I couldn't find it yet.
Okay, you know where it says number four?
number
Number
four.
four. So you have the first page, page one. It
Yes.
starts with number one, then number two. We're on the second page, number four, the first line.
On the second page,
Yes.
it doesn't have any numbers in my pages.
The one that I've sent? What's the kitab that you're looking at? How many pages is it?
It has 29 pages.
Okay, it should be 27. So, but the paragraph is the same. So, does it say Haqiqat al-Jazb al-Suluk? What's the title of the document itself that you're looking at?
The title is Episode 287. That's it, no other title.
No. This should be. Everybody should check. You should tell me this beforehand, right? You have the wrong document. No wonder you will not be able to follow. So how have you been following for all these weeks? Allahu Akbar. Never. Never put yourself in a position where you're just coasting along, right? We want everybody to benefit, and that can only happen if you think that you're not following something. You must inform me, right?
Yes.
MashaAllah, you keep in touch, you make a rabta, so it should be very easy that I don't know what we're going through, right? This isn't a lecture where it's just about listening to what the lecturer is saying. This is about actively grasping the concepts of Mujaddid Thani Rahmatullah Ali, in particular the Naqshbandi Tariqah. Okay, I'm sending you this. Let me know that you've received it.
Yes.
Have you received it on WhatsApp?
Not yet. Yes,
Okay, inshallah.
now I did.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
You have a look at it. Read it. Number four, second page, number four. Okay. Qasim. Qasim.
Jeez, I'm not sure, to be honest. I don't even have the book.
Okay. Does anybody else not have the book? Can you put your hand up, please? Okay. Danielle, do you have the book?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Nobody should be sitting without the kitab or the wrong kitab. That's one or two people now, even if they've come for the first time. When a person attends a lecture, any lecture, forget Islamic lectures, any lecture, there should be some preparation beforehand. Before, we used to sit in the dars of our sheikh, we used to do wudu and read two rak'ah, Salat al-Tawbah and Salat al-Hajj. Ya Allah, we're undeserving of the ilm that's being given. Ya Allah, do not let our sins be a barrier in the ilm that you're giving. That's how we used to sit in front of Hazrat. Nowadays, subhanAllah, people just, mashallah, yes, I was part of it, and feet up. Who knows what position people are lying and listening to this dars right now? How many people have got their heads covered in a and to implement the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst they're listening? Khair. The fitnas of the modern age. When you remove the etiquettes and adab from the deen, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Because the Orientalists also study Islam, Arabic. They're masters in Arabic, Farsi, Urdu, the literature, Sufi literature, hadith. But it's of no benefit to them. Some may argue they haven't got iman, even those who are Muslim. But they're not practicing, but they know about these things. You see them suited and booted and not really caring too much about salah, but they want to discuss the intricacies of tasawwuf. You can't implement the sunnah on your body and you want to talk about the sunnah of the internal, the esoteric sciences that you cannot grasp. That is not tangible in physical form. Where emotions and psychology is involved, and you have to discern what is the emotional part, what is the spiritual part, what is the psychological part. Such intricate things you think you'll understand. No. This, you have to sacrifice for this. Only after sacrifice is it given. Read the life of Mujaddid al-Sadr, rahmatullah alayh. Life full of sacrifice. Read the life of Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh. Full of sacrifice. 7 years he locked himself up in the minara, in the minaret of Dimashq, of the Umayyad Masjid, the Umayyad Masjid in Damascus, Dimashq, for 7 years. Imagine for 7 years, Allah, we can't do 7 hours. So we sit for 3 hours in a dars, inna lillah, our back is gone. We become such fragile, pretty, delicate little things. Men are no longer men. I'm not talking to anybody individual, I'm just mentioning generally. Men have to become people of a ghid, of wajah, waqar. These were the Sahaba ikram. These are who we follow. They are our heroes in Islam. They are the ones that we look up to, not DC and Marvel comics and other people in the social societal framework. Our heroes are the Sahaba. And they were people of practical implementation, people of adab. When they sat in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the riwayat tell us, the narrations tell us, it was as if birds would actually come and sit on their heads because they were motionless. Motionless, why? Because they were scared of the Prophet. No, they loved him. Adab, adab. They knew sometimes And this isn't for here, because it depends on circumstances. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would ask a question, but they would realize that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants to teach them something. They would have an answer, but they would say, "Allah Rasulullah alaihi Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam know best." Khair, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala read the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. Right? How he walked in the wilderness. This deen, this nisbah or nisbat, as we say in Farsi and Urdu, this connection with Allah, ta'aluq ma'allah, does not come without sacrifice. Because every love demands sacrifice. Do you think the love of Allah does not demand sacrifice? Juliet demanded sacrifice of Romeo, and Romeo demanded sacrifice from Juliet. Right? Layla and Majnun. Layla demanded sacrifice from Majnun. The lovers of the world demand sacrifice of time of their beloved. They expect financial sacrifice. They expect various other efforts. And we think that we can gain Allah and His nisbat just by reading a few books and a few durus. No. So prepare for the lessons. Prepare emotionally. Prepare mentally. Prepare physically with tahara, with wudu. Is it fard? No, it's not fard. Right? But if somebody gave you money by doing a little bit of deed, would you say, "Well, do I have to?" No, you don't have an employment contract, but you'll get some money. Everybody would do it. These are opportunities. These are windows of opportunity. These are opportunities. I always say, those brothers who have listened to durus or come to Jumu'ah or have spent some time in Darul Ihsan, they will know. I always remind myself and others, life is a game of snakes and ladders, right? There are ladders which can take us very, very high, very quickly. You step on the right ladder, the right square, you can propel yourself at lightning speed towards khair, towards good, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are also snakes. You can fall from a very great height. Doesn't matter if you're an imam or a sheikh, you can fall from a very big height, right? And back to zero. So we should prepare, we should take these opportunities and avail ourselves of these opportunities properly with preparation, just like we would do for university, just like we would do for work, for a promotion. Oh no, I have to read this. I have to know about compliance. I have to know about this area of policy. I have to know about this area of finance, of IT, whatever our areas of medicine, whatever our various jobs and roles are, right? So let's prepare for the deen. Right, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, coming back to the text. Everybody was correct that mentioned something, Muhammad Abdul Halim, Dr. Adeshina, everybody was correct. But Dr. Adeshina is the one who summarized it perfectly in that the jazb, when the Sheikh mentions, irrespective of the methodology adopted, what he means is, as I mentioned in the beginning, see, the answer was already given in the beginning when I started the dars. Jazb can be gained, did I not say? Jazb can be gained from listening to poetry, Quran, nasheed, acts of worship. That's what the author means here. Doesn't matter how you get the jazb. Jazb isn't just through dhikr Allah. That is the most powerful sometimes form, but that is not the only way. It can be by sitting in front of your sheikh. It can be contemplation, tafakkur, tadabbur. It can be any of these things, right? That's what he's saying, that irrespective of how you reach the stage of jazb, right? Irrespective of how they, Jazakumullah khair, Suhail. Yes, those who don't have a copy, they can message on the group and they can receive it, inshallah ta'ala. Khair. So, irrespective of how they gain this jazb, this feeling of love, and wanting to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are known as Arbab al-Qulub, the people of the fraternity of the heart. So now let's continue with the passage. If you cannot hear me at any point, please let me know, inshallah ta'ala. Further progress is only possible when the nafs has been cleansed through suluk. This is what we've been saying again and again and again. Unfortunately, modern Naqshbandis in this day and age, for some time, they've stopped speaking about suluk because they don't study the maktubat. Or they pass over this because it's all about kashf and these things, right? Further progress, Mujaddid al-Sa'di rahmatullah is saying, is only possible when the nafs has been cleansed through suluk. Nafs meaning the desires of the haram desires are suppressed. Nafs wants to sleep. Allah says, read Fajr. We read Fajr. That's tazkiyah of the nafs. Nafs says, lie, exaggerate. Allah says, don't lie, be truthful. Give testimony to truth, even if against yourself or your family. So the person suppresses his nafs through suluk and implements through mashwara of the sheikh, how shall I do it? And then they gain the barakah of that and they please Allah. Right? So whatever the nafs wants, we do its opposite. In fact, when you disobey the nafs wants to look at beautiful women, ghair mahram, and Allah says don't, right? For example. Then when a person suppresses this desire, then they are elevated. Allah puts a noor. In fact, the hadith tells us sweetness of iman enters their heart. Okay, number one. Why does sweetness of iman enter their heart? I thought about this a long time when I read this hadith. Well, when you a person engages in zina, a Muslim who does zina, fornication, and adultery, when they engage in that, the hadith tell us that iman hovers above him, right? Iman hovers above him. It leaves his chest. It leaves his ruh. His iman hovers above him, and when that haram has been, he's away from that haram, and that's done, that sin, then iman returns into his heart, if Allah wills. So, if the sin is that heinous and that disgusting and that dark, then the opposite is what Allah gives. So Allah, instead of taking the iman because he protects himself from the avenues of haram, Allah then gives him the sweetness of the iman. Allahu Akbar. This is just my own understanding. You can call it from the guidance of the barakah of our Shaykh, inshallah ta'ala. Other ulama may have other reasons, but this is a reason that comes to mind. So the nafs has to be suppressed, its opposites. There was a great sheikh in India, just like Mujaddid al-Sani Rahmatullah Ali, of the Chishtiya Tariqa. His name was Sheikh Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali. A man of great miracles, he became famous because of his miracles and karama. But he was a great wali Allah. And a great wali Allah. He was the Khalifa of Sheikh Fariduddin Ganji Shakar Rahmatullah Ali, who is the Khalifa, the deputy of Sheikh Qutbuddin Bakhtiar Kaki, probably the most famous Sheikh of India, apart from Mujaddid al-Sani Rahmatullah Ali. And he was the Khalifa of Sheikh Mu'inuddin Chishti As-Sanjazi Rahmatullah Ali, otherwise known as Khaja Gharib Nawaz, the founder of the Chishtiya Tariqa in India, through whom 90,000 Hindus became Muslim. So this was the shajara. We have ijaz in that tariqah as well, alhamdulillah, through multiple chains, alhamdulillah. And that's why in the Naqshbandi tariqah, you have the Naqshbandiya Binawriya and Naqshbandiya Masumiya. They are the two khalifas of Mujaddid Thani. He had many others, but these are two main ones. One was Sheikh Sayyid Adam Binawri, and one was his son, Sheikh Masum Sirhindi. Both have difference of opinion on the position of the sensing points, lata'if, within the ruh, because they're to do with kashf, and not everybody's kashf has to be the same. So there's a difference of opinion. Khair, Sheikh Nizamuddin Awliya is of the Nizamiya. Through him came the Nizamiya Chishtiya Tariqa. And through the nephew of Sheikh Fariduddin Ganji Shakar, who is buried in Pakistan, Pak Patan Sharif, his nephew's name was Sabir Kaleri. Sheikh Sayyid Sabir Kaleri, and he was a man of great spiritual power. When he passed away, his grave had a fire a flame that would come, because he was very a man of Jalal. He was a no-nonsense kind of sheikh. This is another thing to just mention by way of hashia, footnotes, is that different mashayikh, they have different personalities. Some people are very soft and gentle. Some are slightly more harsh and direct. Some are in between. And this is the way Allah has created them. As long as you don't violate somebody else's rights by verbal speech or by hand, then that is accepted by Allah. Umar Farooq bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that companion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar. When Umar walks down one side of the street, Shaitan, Iblis, walks on the other side. Right? And yet, he's very different to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And who is Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? In spite of these fadail and virtues of Umar bin Khattab, he is Afdhul al-Bashr ba'd al-Anbiya. Bit-tahqiq. He is the best of creation after the prophets by consensus, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But there's a difference in personality. One would not take any nonsense. And one would be, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq would be a little bit more willing to give leeway to somebody in some circumstances. And yet both had such a pure, pure heart, such a pure, pure heart. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Once Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah. Abu Bakr Siddiq was not a muscular man. He was not a muscular man and a very tall man who had great fighting ability. No, but he had Iman, which gave him shuja and strength when he was on haqq. So when Musaylimah al-Kazzab claimed prophethood, he sent an army. And people said to him, Sahaba said to him, that right now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away and has veiled from this dunya. We have other problems to deal with. Many people are turning away from Islam, those who are new. So we must deal with that. And what did he say? He said, this army was dispatched by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the hukum for it. I will not pull this army back, even if either my body or my daughter's body was dragged by the dogs in Medina Munawwara. His opinion was on one side, all the other Sahaba almost disagreed with it. And later, when the rebellion was crushed and the false prophethood was crushed, then Umar ibn Khattab would weep. He would cry after Abu Bakr Siddiq passed away. And he would say, Oh Abu Bakr, we owe you everything. We owe you everything. They realized that Allah had placed something unique in Abu Bakr Siddiq's heart. Allah Akbar Kabira. And who was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, that once a man, when he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, leader of the believers, when he was the Khalifa to Muslim, a man is eating, dining in front of him on the dasturkhan, on the tablecloth in front. Amir al-Mu'mineen is watching. The man has a cloak on and he's eating with his left hand. Umar ibn Khattab says, Eat, O man, eat with your right hand, for this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man paused for a moment and then he continued to eat with his left hand. He said, he enraged Umar ibn Khattab. He said, Do you not hear me? I tell you to eat with the sunnah, the right hand of the Prophet, and you continue to eat with your left hand. And then it happened a third time. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu, became enraged. For what? For somebody disobeying the sunnah of the Prophet. Not fard, not wajib, sunnah. Can you eat with your left hand? It's permissible. All the books of fiqh tell you that. But it's not the sunnah. And the Naqshbandi way is aqrab as-sunnah. Umar ibn Khattab is Naqshbandi as well. Right, all the Sahaba were aqrab as-sunnah, right, closest to the sunnah. So he came to the man, and as he pulled him towards him, his cloak fell, and it was revealed that the man only had one hand. He didn't have a right arm. He didn't have a right hand. So Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala started weeping, started crying. Same Khalifa. In one moment he was enraged, and in one moment the mercy and love in his heart, he began to weep because the man's arm had become shaheed in a battle with against the non-Muslims at that time. And he put the cloak back on him and he said, "Forgive me. Forgive me. How difficult it must have been for you to bear my words. How difficult it must be for you. Who clothes you? How do you tie your izar and your trousers? How do you slip on your shoes with one hand?" And he kept on saying this and weeping until his beard was soaked. Right? This great warrior. And then he gave him much from the Bayt al-Mal and so forth. Khair. Allahu Akbar. People have different personalities, right? But what Allah looks at is sincerity. Okay. You can be somebody who's like that, but as long as you're sincere, and when truth comes to you, you do not stand in its way, even if it's your own parents, your own family, your own friends, your own tribe, right? Your own employers, your own neighbors, even yourself, right? Always testify to truth. This is why when anybody would argue with Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but they would, and they were wrong, and Umar bin Khattab was on haq, but they would read a verse of the Quran, because people, to support their views, they like to use any verse of the Quran, even if that verse had nothing to do with the dalil, and they were still wrong. Umar bin Khattab would not speak after the Quran was recited, out of respect for the Quran. And that's why one of the titles given to Umar bin Khattab is كان وقاف عند كتاب الله. كان, he would, وقاف, he would stop, halt. كان وقاف عند كتاب الله. In front of the book of Allah, he would stop. There was nothing more he wanted to say. Us, when we argue and somebody says, "Look, Allah says this in the Quran," the brother says, "Yes, Allah also says it." Continue to argue because it's the nafs. And Umar bin Khattab, if there's to be a prophet after me, it would be Umar. Iblis is on the other side when he's walking. And yet, كان وقاف عند كتاب الله. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Purity of divine love, adoration cannot be acquired without tazkiyah, cleansing of the self. This is a hybrid state where the qalb, which is cleansed through tasfiyah, is being influenced both by the self and the soul, embodying darkness and splendor simultaneously. And what this means here is, just to put it very simply, this last paragraph, and we'll end there, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me now? So this paragraph where the author is saying that it's the hybrid. He's saying that the arbab al-qulub are a hybrid, right? Meaning that they're influenced both by emotional states of joy towards Allah, but the nafs also influences them because the nafs has not yet been purified yet, right? That's why you see Sufis involved in sin. People ask, how can he be a Sufi? And but he goes to halaqah, he goes to dhikr, but he's still smoking, he's still doing this, he's still doing this haram, because they have not had their nafs done yet. So they'll have flashes of flames of love of Allah, but then the nafs will take over. And this is what the author is referring to, darkness. Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dehlawi, another Mujaddid and another great Naqshbandi who came much later in the same country, India. He writes, Allahu Akbar, he writes in Al-Taf al-Quds al-Ma'rifat al-Nafs, it's another Persian book of his, a great book. We studied it with our Shaykh, Alhamdulillah, Mukammal, all of it. In that he writes that the nafs and the qalb, the nafs and the ruh fight against each other in maqami qalb, in the place of qalb, in the heart. It's a barzakh, it's a place of a battleground between the ruh, the celestial heavenly nur of the ruh, and the zulamat and the darkness of the nafs and its desires. And that fight takes place in the qalb. Sometimes the qalb takes over, a person starts doing an ibadah. Sometimes the nafs takes over, a person falls into sin. Right? But when the qalb, when the ruh takes over, when the ruh is fed through dhikr, azkar, and the nafs is suppressed through suluk, with mashwara of the sheikh, of how to leave these sins, then the ruh is then elevated, and the qalb itself becomes a ruh. It becomes a latifa, latifa ruh, right? And aql becomes latifa sir. Shah Waliullah has written this in great detail.
خير إن شاء الله تعالى. Time has gone away from us, and you will excuse me as I have possibly a trip to Germany too for the janazah. Make du'as إن شاء الله تعالى. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand and do amal and change our lives for the better in accordance with the sunnah of the Habib al-Mustafa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in light of the Holy Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite our hearts, forgive us our faults, our shortcomings, whether they're in speech, whether they're in behavior, and allow us to always be on truth and haqq, and to die with iman and serving the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhira da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفره وأتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.